Can you believe that Thursday is Thanksgiving? We're already there. And then next Sunday is the first Sunday in Advent as we prepare our hearts for Christmas. Where has the year gone? It's just amazing. We come today for our message to look at Thanksgiving, but also to emphasize that word giving. This is the annual stewardship message. And, you know, Lonnie mentioned this last week, that we don't talk a lot about money at Parkway. We have our emphasis during November. This is the one message. Every once in a while, as I'm preaching through a certain section of Scripture, it might mention money and our relationship to it, or giving, or our stewardship and the various aspects of our lives, because stewardship is really whole life stewardship. Absolutely everything that we're given, our minds, our bodies and what we can do with them, our experiences, our educations, our talents and our possessions and our ability to work and earn money, all of those things in the end are God's, and we're entrusted with them, and we seek, as disciples of Jesus, we seek to be good stewards, faithful in all things. And so we seek that. But today, our emphasis is on monetary giving. 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 are kind of the classical stewardship passages. Paul talks about giving there in a very direct way. And my encouragement for you is perhaps this week to read through both of those chapters and just let God's word sink in. The section that we're looking at today is just one portion of that. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. There's a lot there. And again, just to remember that as we go through this, the context is the monetary giving that the church is doing, and how we're to go about doing this and creating the space within our hearts. So I encourage you to follow along right now in the Pew Bibles or in your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 6. And you can see that there must have been something else that went before dealing with money and giving, because he says the point is this. So he's been talking about that all along. He says, the point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you, because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Boy, there's a lot there. But we're going to begin with verse 6, and where he says, the point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. I'm going to begin with what I believe are misuses of this passage and the imagery that is here by what we call the prosperity gospel. And the prosperity gospel is evident on TV, and it's in a lot of churches across America. And what they have done is, I believe, kind of done a little twist on the good news, and they've made it about kind of earthly riches. And it's subtle in some churches, and it's very overt, just right out there in others. You can turn on some of the programming on TV, and it is very strong there. And probably out of every hour of programming, about 55 minutes of it is talking about you giving money. And they'll use imagery from this passage, and it's one of their favorites, this idea of send in your seed offering to us. You send in this seed offering of money, and God is going to, for you, multiply that so that you're going to have more money coming back to you. And there's a distortion there, and we're going to see a little bit later more clearly what is being produced through our giving. There's not a promise that God is going to rain riches, earthly riches of things or money upon us. And part of that distortion comes about because of greed. And in the prosperity churches, it is the pastors and those who are kind of in charge of things, that their lifestyle is a little over the top. And when we read through Scripture, we don't see that for the leaders in the church. We don't see the calling of that for believers. And so when false promises are made, we want to be very wary of those. We want to be on guard, protected against them. Go back to Scripture and look again. And when they say that, you know, this seed offering that you're sending, we just come back and say, what does the context say? Now, I'm not talking about every preacher on TV. There are some good ones and good ministries. We have to be discerning. I'm just calling us to discern about those who distort giving. So, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Paul is talking about giving here, but he's also talking about basic human motivation. And it's basically choose what is best for you. That's the way we operate. And the problem is we're too often short-sighted, and we fall prey to marketing, which is actually just playing into our desires and a little bit of greed, telling us that you deserve it or everybody else has it. You want this. So we don't want to be too easily pleased. Even with the prosperity gospel that is claiming that you'll get back many fold financial gain, that's still far too easily pleased, too short-sighted of what God has in store for us. Now we bounce down to the end of this passage where Paul says, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. That is his doxology, his praise to God at the end of chapters 8 and 9 dealing with giving. It all comes back to God, his inexpressible gift. What is it? Well, it's tied in. It's the gospel. It's the grace that we receive through the gospel of Jesus Christ, which really brings us just back to Jesus himself, who he is. And that's our treasure. That's our greatest good, being tied into Jesus. And his grace just washes over us. And that's what this passage really keeps emphasizing, that there is grace, there is God working for our good. And then things happen out of that. So thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. It's the gift of Jesus himself. It's what we're going to be preparing our hearts for during Advent. We come to Christmas, God's inexpressible gift given to all of humanity. waiting for our response. And so we choose the greatest good. And as we search Scripture and as we think about eternity, the greatest good is Jesus Christ. And it brings us back to the Gospel of John. You know, we can't emphasize too often John's beginning of the Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, it's Jesus, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have beheld His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. That is our treasure. There is nothing greater. The living God, the infinite God, coming and taking on human flesh and all of His ministry to us. So we choose Jesus. We find in this passage that God's grace is sufficient for us, and it produces many things. Let's take a look at these things. In the outline, what it's meant to be is kind of two columns. We have on the one side, here's what God is providing, and then the arrow brings you over to the result. And so we see in verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, Paul's not leaving any wiggle room there, is he? God's sufficiency is there. It's immeasurable. And what's the result of this? That you may abound in every good work. So it brings us into ministry. It brings us into our response of faith. God's grace comes and every good work. Now the context is giving, but Paul wouldn't have a stop there. Every good work involves every encounter that we have throughout the day with other people. Every good work involves even our attitudes. It involves our complete response to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So everything we do, you know, it's not just with people. Every good work, we might be doing tasks throughout the day that we might at times consider to be mundane. There are things that just have to be done, right? I mean, we have to take care of our homes, and so you have to wash dishes and cook, you have to do laundry, we have to vacuum and dust, we have to mow lawns, and I mean, the list goes on and on and on. God's grace abounds so that we can abound in every good work. Everything we do takes on a spiritual dimension. Then in verse 10, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, that he is God, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. So God supplies to us and multiplies everything that we need for life. Now, different amounts for different people, but it is God who supplies that. And notice the purpose here. It says you'll multiply your seed for sowing. So we're going to be out sowing, and that's doing ministry. That's what He wants us to do. So that our faith in Jesus Christ is never meant to be just me and Jesus. That's all I need. Me and Jesus. That's why we're here. Because we believe that God calls us into community and to serve Him. So, fruitful sowing, ministry, and then here's another very important thing. And again, this comes back to whole life stewardship, but specifically about giving that we do. God's sufficiency will then increase the harvest of your righteousness. You see now from the context why we're saying that the prosperity gospel is distorting what this whole seed thing is? The increase that God cares about in us is the increase of our righteousness, which comes from his grace. It all comes back to his sufficiency. It's not a righteousness we have on our own, but it's the righteousness that comes through grace in Jesus Christ. So God's sufficient grace is able to increase the harvest of our righteousness. God is at work transforming us. Then verses 11 and 12, you will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. And then at the end of verse 13, it's this generosity and contribution is not only for the saints, but it's for all others. So notice, we are enriched in every way to be generous. God is the one enriching us. Everything that we are able to do, that we can give in our lives, whether it be money or time or our talents, whatever it is God enriching us in every way so that, what? We can produce thanksgiving to God, giving glory to him because he's the one who's provided, and to supply other people's needs. So part of the giving is to supply needs of others. Then we come into verses 13 and 14. By their approval of this service, this is the people who receive then the blessing of our giving. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. So others see our submission. When we give or when we serve in various ways, we do it in such a way that people will see that we are submitting ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And they'll see that. It's there in our attitude. It's there in our words and our actions. They'll see that, and they'll see that it's arising from what? The confession of the good news of Jesus Christ. It's just tied into the grace that Jesus offers. And they see that generosity overflowing, and then what does it produce? The same thing it produces in us. They glorify God. Just like we offer our thanksgiving to God, we're glorifying God. So service, including giving, glorifies God because it becomes evident, it becomes seen by other people. Now we're going to come back up to verse 7, and I purposefully wanted to move that down to the end because this is pretty key too in terms of giving, how it's an expression of our faith and what it is and what it isn't. And so after Paul says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. He then says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So the first thing we have to understand about this giving as it's a matter of faith, but it's also, it's the matter of our heart. It's as God is touching our hearts. Now, this is in contrast to a legalism. A legalism that would just simply say, the Bible talks about a tithe and offerings, and therefore you must give. And there are some churches or traditions where and it's very few these days, but where you would receive a visit by some elders in the church that would sit down and say, well, let's see, your income is this amount, this is what you should be giving to the church, or you will give to the church. That's legalism. That's not from the heart. And so Paul wants us to understand that God doesn't like legalism. He just wants our hearts. So it begins there. And if our heart isn't there, if it's legalism, then we're going to see that it's for naught. So he expands on this. He says, not reluctantly or under compulsion, it's freely given. Okay? So reluctance or that under compulsion where someone visits you and says you have to give this much, or we read in Scripture about things that we feel compelled, not by our hearts, what the Spirit is doing in our hearts, but just by a sense of ought. I ought to do this. And Paul is just coming back and saying, we don't live like that. That's not grace. And so we are not to give reluctantly or under compulsion. So each one must decide as they have made up in their hearts. And then he says, for God loves a cheerful giver. It brings us then to this idea that there's something about joy that is involved in our service to God. It's all about our service to God. It's all about faith. Everything that we do in the name of Jesus Christ should have a sense of joy. We're motivated. It comes back to we choose to live by our greatest good. What's going to bring us the greatest joy? What's going to bring us the greatest good in the end? And it is knowing God, being connected to Jesus Christ. And so joy is a motivation. In our giving, Paul is saying there has to be joy. And if it's not there, then we need to be on guard. And joy is an expression so that as we give, I mean, Jesus' words, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Because we have received something once from God, we can enjoy, and then out of our bounty, we can give to others, and we have the joy of that. And that's, we all experience the joy of giving. It's also a little bit of a litmus test for us, so that when it comes to giving, if we find ourselves not having joy in it, then it means that we're falling under that ought, that sense of legalism. And we should just come before God in prayer and just say, God, I want my heart to be right with you, and I want your Spirit to guide me on how to give and how much to give. And Lord, I'm just open to what you want to do. And give me joy in what I do. Now, notice in here, I'm not talking about amounts that you have to give. Everybody is different, and everybody is able to give different amounts because of where you are, whether it be how much resources you have at your disposal, or just maybe where you are in your Christian walk, and we are all growing in that. And so God just simply wants you to come before him in prayer and say, Lord, I want to submit to you and just have you fill me with joy in what I give, and then to feel that joy. And then to remember this, that as we have joy in our giving, God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, God loves you. We should feel the love of God in our faith each day, in our response to God, no matter what it is. And when it comes to giving, and as we do this as we have decided within our hearts, we should feel that grace of God that is sufficient for all things, touching us and filling us with great joy. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you give to us great freedom, that your grace is what is sufficient for us. And as you have called us to yield our lives to you, we just ask, Lord, that you would help each of us to make decisions each day in our hearts of how best we can serve you and how to touch those around us and how to approach every task that we do. So fill us with joy as we look to Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our greatest treasure. Amen.